about Jesus, about doing what we were placed on this earth to do in the first place, amen? Which is to be witnesses on his behalf. And it's always an honor and a pleasure to stand before anyone who has that heart and mind and that desire to seek out and live their life according to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I even get started, I have not utilized all the wonderful tools I have and toys, so I do not have. So, we're going to do things the old-fashioned way, which is sufficient. Amen? We're going to just use our Bibles. And before I get started, does anyone need a Bible? Okay. Amen. The way that the Lord has placed on my heart to teach for the many years that I've been teaching our Father's Word is that we let the Scriptures do all the teaching. You know, we as men, we have opinions, and opinions aren't worth nothing. But the Word of God is the truth. This is the truth, and it'll make you free. So therefore, we'll go into the Word and get the truth. Amen?
Amen.
With that said, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity for us to worship you another day, Lord, to get up and to seek and live a life that is pleasing unto you, Father. We ask that you just continue to mold us in your way, Lord. Fashion us in the ways of your Son's heart, Lord. For this world, we were born into it, and a lot of dirty things got on us, Lord. We were programmed the wrong way, Lord, and we ask that you remove those things right now, Lord. Heavenly Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit come and do all the teaching today, for you said that you would send a comforter unto us, and he shall teach us all things and bring to remembrance the things that you say. We ask that you send that comforter now, Lord, to do the teaching, Father. I ask that I be removed and that he stand in your place, Lord, and speak your words. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you're not that familiar with your Bibles, today will give you a great opportunity to become familiar with them. Because the way that the Lord has me teach is we bounce around quite a few places. So, if you would you please turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And when you have it, say amen. Romans chapter 12.
Amen.
Okay. All right. This last song that the Lord placed on Ian's heart to share with us this morning, and the scripture that Gary has, I don't think these things are no coincidences. I believe that we serve a God that is an orderly God and a God that does deliver his messages, and I believe that if he has a group of people doing things on his behalf, I think they all coincide. It's no coincidence that Gary read that scripture this morning and was reading it himself, and that Ian shared with us this last song, which is I Surrender All to You. We're here to live for God, to surrender all to you. So if you have Romans chapter 12, let's take a look at this. Verses 1 through 1 and 2, and it reads, this is Paul speaking. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you pay attention to the scriptures here, we're called to live our lives for God. And as you can see in the last verse, verse 2, he says that you may prove, he says, be not conformed to this world. And I always preach and teach that we have been programmed by this world. Many of the things that we do, as you had heard Ian share this morning, we've been programmed to live for our will. And really, it's not even our will. When Ian says his self, He's not even talking about himself, because we're either serving one master or the other. So if we're not doing God's will, we're doing whose will?
God's will.
If we're not doing God's will, we're doing whose will?
Satan's
will. So it's not even our own, because we've been programmed by him. So look here. It says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds have to be reprogrammed by the word of God. But the key verse, I mean, as you continue in that verse, look what it says, that ye, we're going to be reprogram our minds with this book, with this Bible, that we may prove what is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. God's will. Amen? Not our own will, which is not our own anyway. It's Satan's will. We've been programmed by him. Many of us, we get up each and every day and we go about our purpose to see what it is that we want to do for ourselves, what we can accomplish for ourselves. Everything that we've been programmed to get up and set forth to do, we're doing it for us and our families, and it's righteous in our eyes. This is the right thing to do. But what we should be doing is getting up each and every day looking to live a life according to God's will and asking what he would have us do that day. Amen? With that, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter. I'm going to read this one and then we'll go to the next one. If you like, you can write it down, because it's very important for us to look upon the scriptures with our own eyes, so that these are not my words, that you know that you've read these things yourself. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, it reads, many of you might say, well, why should I even do this? You know, why? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, this is Paul talking again. He's talking to the Corinthians and believers like yourselves. And he says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You don't even belong to yourself. Christ paid a ransom for you. And then you want to live for your will. And you're not your own. Look what it goes on further to say, verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to God. Jesus Christ got on the cross and purchased you with his blood. Prior to that, we were all condemned. The Bible says if you don't know Christ, then you're condemned already. Amen? But once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have to understand that we were purchased and that we're supposed to be living a life according to his will. Amen? Not our own will, but his will. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 6. And I'm moving a little quick this morning because for time's sake, we're going to get this word in. Amen?
John chapter 6.
When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to look at verses 35 through 40. And this is our Lord and Savior speaking, so let's pay close attention to what he says. John chapter 6, verse 35 through 40. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose none, but should rise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Christ said, he's our example, amen? Jesus Christ is our example. He says, I came not to do my will, but but the will of him that sent me. And his will is that he should not lose any of us that have come to him. So if his will, God's will, is that none of us should be lost, don't you think that that means that we have to be walking in his will also? We're to be walking in the will of God, not our own will. Each one of us, we've been programmed to believe that we have a right to do whatever it is that we want to. And the truth of the matter, you most definitely do have the right to do whatever you want to. Paul said, in the scriptures he says, everything is lawful unto me, but everything is not expedient. He says, I can do anything that I want, but then I got to deal with the repercussions of it. You can do whatever you want. You've heard me say this before. You can sit up and eat all the donuts you want. Then when your belly is aching and you're 100 pounds heavier and your knees are buckling, then that's the result of you doing whatever you want. You can go out and drink as much as you want. You know? Then when you're disillusioned and you find yourself doing a lot of stupid things and hurt and find yourself in... This is the repercussion. This is the result of what it is that you do. But we're not here to do our will. If we operate under the will of God, we will be blessed. It's a blessing to live in his will. But we have been programmed from day one to live in the will of Satan. And don't take my word for it. We're going to take a look at this. Turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. Book of Acts chapter 22, I'm sorry. Book of Acts chapter 22. Book of Acts chapter 22. Today we're dealing with the will of God. This is what we're preaching on, and this is the topic. This next passage of scripture we're going to is it's about being chosen to do the will of God. Acts chapter 22, when you got it, say amen. Okay, we're going to start at verse 7. And what we have here is Paul. Paul has already been captured. He's getting ready to speak on his defense. So he's asking the people to give him an ear and let him speak on his own. He's actually taking an opportunity to witness. He doesn't really need to defend himself. He's taking an opportunity to witness. But he's giving them his testimony. So we're going to pick it up at verse 7. And he says... He's telling the people what happened on the road to Damascus. He says, and I fell on the ground and I heard a voice, verse 7. I fell on the ground and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed to do for thee to do. And when I came not to see the glory of the light, being led by the hand that were led of them that were with me, I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. I'm at verse 14, and it says, and he said, the God of our fathers have chosen thee that thou should know his will, and see that just one, and should hear the voice of his mouth. You all see that 14th verse? He said to Paul, he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou should know his will, and see Christ, and hear his voice. Now, I want you to look at something. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm going to point it out to you. Verse 9, notice it says that it says that the people around them, they saw the light of God, but they didn't hear the voice. You got to be chosen to hear God's voice. You have to be chosen to hear His will. It's not given to everybody. People in the world can see the light upon a servant in Jesus Christ, but they can't hear His words unless God reveals His words unto them. Amen? So, again, it's a privilege and an honor to understand that God has chosen you to know His will. To know His will. He has chosen you to know His will. So, therefore, we should operate in that will. We should live a life that is pleasing unto God, to walk in His will. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read this, and then we'll go. This is just a piggyback on what we just said. Gary shared with us earlier about, in Colossians, where a person, it's given to a person to know God's will, and that's a blessing. And then we just read here at the end of this verse where God has chosen Paul. He says, He's chosen thee to know that you should know His will and to see that just one and should hear the voice of His mouth. And I always like to add a couple extra scriptures to support something. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. This is in the book of Matthew. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. You can write it down and read it later for time's sake. It says, the disciples came unto Him, talking to Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He had spoke the words of God to the Pharisees and other people, and they couldn't understand what He was talking about. He spoke in a parable unto them. But then the truth or the will of God was shared with His disciples. So look what it says. It says, they asked Him, why did you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. So when you get a chance, you can read that as Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 and 11. It's a privilege to be chosen to know the will of God. And we should be operating in the will of God in our lives. And what the application is for here today is, many of us, if we confess and tell the truth, we are not operating in His will. We're not living in His will. We've accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, but we're not living in that will. We're not operating in it from day to day. We get up each and every day and we're going about our business to do our will. Every time we're saying something, it's about I. It's a bunch of I's behind it. I need this, and I this, and I. Not my will, but His will be done. This is something that we need to get in and get down deep down in our souls and let it be registered. Stay right. Turn to. You're in the book of Acts already. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 21. Chapter 21, and we're going to start reading in verses 10 through 14. Acts chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. So when you got it, say amen. And right now, again, this is Paul. He's on his journey. He's out doing the work of God. He's walking in our Father's will. He's out doing what he's supposed to do, and he's traveling from place to place. He just came from Caesarea, and he went and entered into the house of Philip, an evangelist, another brother, and this is where he is at this point. So when you got it, I'm starting to read at verse 10. So here it says, And as we tarried there many days, we're in Caesarea, and there came down from Judah a certain prophet named Agabus, and when he was come unto us, took Paul girdle and bound his hands and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go into Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart, for I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not persuaded, we cease, saying, the will of God be done. Y'all see that, verse 14? So let me give you this picture. Here's a brother that gets this thing about walking in the will of God. It's not about himself. It's about God. And here he is, and he's sitting amongst other believers, and a prophet takes the very pants or whatever he has on around from around him, and he binds his hands up and his feet, and he does a demonstration. He's going to show him what's going to occur. He says, "So shall the man who owns this." So he's saying, "Paul, you own this girdle. This is what's about to happen to you." He ties his hands up and his ankles up, and he says, "This is how you're going to be taken down into Jerusalem, bound, and you're about to go through some rough stuff on the behalf of your Lord and Savior." And then everybody gets nervous, saying, "Oh, you know, because the prophet spoke, he just told them what's about to happen. They know it's going to be fulfilled." And instead, Paul said, "What's you all's problem? What is you all's problem? We're all here to live our life for God. We're here for his very purpose. We're here to do his will." He said, I'm not worried about being taken down to Jerusalem, bound up and everything. I'm willing not only to go down and bound up, I'm also willing to die for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they recognized that he was serious about that, they said, "Let God's will be done, brother, with your life." And this is what each and every one of us need to understand. That first of all, we should have that passion that Paul has. That we should be about his will to whatever the consequences are going to be. Amen? And not only that, we should also adapt the attitude of those that, once we recognize something, those that were around them, they realized that he was speaking the way we all should speak. And they said, "Hey, brother, we're not gonna hinder you with telling you what we think no more. God's will be done in your life." Amen? They could have sat there longer and gave a bunch of opinions why he shouldn't do it. But instead, they were obedient unto God and realized that God's will is going to be done anyway. And they accepted it for Paul's life, and hopefully they accepted it for their own. Amen? All right. Turn with me to the book of Luke. We're almost done. Got a little bit more, a few more places to bounce. Then we'll be closing. The book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 39 through 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. You got to say amen. Okay. It reads, this is Jesus. "And he came out," verse 39, "and he came out and went as he was wrought to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." This is our Lord and Savior on his way to the cross. Right before him paying for the sins of the entire world. And look at the selfishness in him, you know? The unselfishness in him. Look at the complete total submission unto God, which is the first scripture we read, which is that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We're watching the example of that, our Lord and Savior, which we are to mimic. We are to follow in his example. We're watching Christ stand here, and he tells his disciples to pray, and then he goes off to the side, and he prays, and he's talking to the Father. He says, "If there's any other way that the sins of the world can be paid for other than me getting on this cross, then remove this cup from me." So, in a sense, he's saying, if there's another way, let's do it that way. But then, the complete obedience of the most loyal son that ever existed, he says unto his Father, he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but do it your way." but your will be done. Are we doing this in our lives? Are we getting up each and every day? Are we facing whatever obstacles and problems that we're faced with each and every day and asking God, your will be done in this matter, Lord? Or do we have some preconceived notion or preconceived outcome of whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish? And we want to take God along for the ride. God, I want you to go in this courtroom and make this judge know that he's wrong. Or do we want to go in there and say, God, your will be done? And speaking about that, this just comes to my mind. This is not in my notes. It comes to my mind. We know the story of the apostles, and Paul was taken to Rome, and shortly after, a lot of things that we read, to given an opportunity to speak on God's behalf again. But the Bible says that all of these things have fallen out, happened unto Paul, that the gospel might have been preached in Rome. He went to jail. All these things, God's will was being done. He says, hey, I need a voiceover in Rome. Don't you think he could have just bought him a first-class ticket or something and put him on a nice boat or something? Instead, he gets them to go through prison to get to Rome. He goes through jail to get there. Many of us would have said, no, God, skip the jail thing because we want our will to be done. Get me to Rome. I want to be on one of these, like these preachers today, telling everybody they need jets and all of this stuff, because I guess regular ways of traveling is not necessary. They can't get it done that way. Everybody needs a private jet nowadays, many of these preachers. So they get everybody to pay for it. So that's a whole nother thing. But anyway, God's will can get done, and God's will be done. The other thing is that we're not to be looking to tell God how to get it done. We're supposed to be open to God using us to get it done. Amen?
Amen?
His will be done. Turn with me to the book of Matthews. Book of Matthews, chapter 21. We got 5 more places to go, and we're done. Okay? If you can hold on for a little bit longer. 5 more places. Matthews, chapter 21. Matthews, chapter 21. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to start reading at verse 28. Verse 28. Doing the will of God. We want to be doing the will of God. Amen?
Amen?
Look what it says here. This is the greatest teacher that ever lived, still teaching. This is what we're about to read. Verse 28, chapter 21 of Matthew. It says, but what think ye? A certain man, he's talking to the Pharisees and all these self, you know, righteous people that think they know something, and he's going to educate him now. He says, what think you? A certain man had 2 sons, and he came to the first one and said, go, work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But after he repented and went. And verse 30, and he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of these twain did the will of his father? And they say unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye went, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. This is a serious, serious and powerful message even to us today. We're believers, right? A bunch of believers in here. We all accepted Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. And yet, God calls out to each and every one of us, each and every day, to go forth and do his will, to go out into his vineyard and go to work. And many of us say with our mouths, yea, I will go, Lord. Then we don't go. We're pretenders. But we can't pretend. We can't fool God. We can fool each other, but we'll never fool God. It's the thing I love about our Lord and Savior. You never fool God. His will is going to be done. And then he said to the one, which was probably many of us, it was probably me, I know it was me, He said, go. And I said, no, man, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. But then I was convicted, and I repented, and I went. And he asked, which one of these did my will? We're supposed to be about the will of the Father. We're supposed to be going forth each and every day, not for what it is that we're looking to accomplish in life, what we're looking to do, but we're supposed to be fulfilling his will. You stay on your knees and you pray and you keep your ear wide open to hear from the Holy Spirit's direction and guidance each and every day for what it is that you're supposed to do. And this is not an easy thing to do because you have to learn how to live differently from the way you've been programmed. Satan has programmed us to live according to his will. It's nothing wrong with me going forth and doing what I want to do. It's a way that seems right unto man, but the end result of that thinking is death, the Bible says. So you can continue to think as you've been programmed by the enemy, or you can learn to pay attention to the scriptures and make some adjustments in your life and be blessed. So you can continue to listen to the way he programmed you, or you can start understanding that God says that his will is to be done in your life. Get up each and every day, keep your ear wide open. Always see too many examples in the Bible where the Holy Spirit is supposed to guide our lives. It says Philip was sitting on the side of the road and the Spirit told him to go down the road and talk to an Ethiopian. He said, if somebody don't understand what he read, get up and go down there. He didn't get up on his own and go out and start handing out some tracts. That's unprofitable. Sit still, hear God's voice, then act. Amen?
Amen.
Hear his will for your life each and every day. Don't let nobody else plan it out for you, and don't you plan it out. Pray and be led by the Spirit that lives inside of you. He said he gave them to you. The Spirit lives inside of you. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you got everything you need to do this. I'm not putting a heavy burden on your shoulders. This is what we're supposed to do. Amen?
Amen.
Stay in Matthew's. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Stay right in Matthew's. Matthew chapter 12.
Amen.
We're going to start at verse 46. Verse 46. We got it, right?
Amen.
Okay, look what it says here. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother. This is Jesus again, okay? We all of this teaching is coming from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Jesus. He's teaching, and while he's yet talking to the people, his mother and his brother stood without, desiring to speak with him. Verse 47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the what? The will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother and my brother. Same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You see, does it seem like God plays with us a little bit? Is he joking around or is he serious? This is Jesus Christ. The woman who carried him is standing outside while he's doing his Father's will. He's busy about his Father's will. He's doing the work of God. He's doing what God has called him to do. And he won't let anything interrupt what God has for him to do. Amen? We're not to let anything interrupt what God has us to do. So he is doing his will. I mean the will of the Father. And while he's in the midst of doing the will of the Father, his mother now knocking on the door looking to interrupt what it is that he has to do. And he says, hey, don't bother me with that. You know? If they was about my Father's will, they'd be in here where I'm at. They would be on the outside knocking on the door. Amen? They're knocking on the door and he says, he stuck out his hand and he pointed at those that were operating in his Father's will. And he says to his disciples, he's giving people the example. See these people right here? He says, and I quote, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother. I mean my brother and my sister and my mother. So my question is this you? The same that will do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's who Christ is with. That's who he's excited to be with. And this isn't none of this is a discouragement. This is an encouragement for something for us to shoot for, aspire for, to look to make some changes and some alterations, to understand that we're here to do his will, not Satan's will, who is the god of this world, who the will we've been programmed under. We've been programmed under that will. We get up each and every day and we got our agenda. And according to the world, it's all good. Man, don't let that preacher talk to you, man. Ain't nothing wrong with what you're doing. Ain't nothing wrong with what you're doing. The world has a funny way of justifying everything. Right now, it's okay for two men to get married and two women to get married, but I ain't even going there. This world justifies everything. Everything's fine, you know? If we keep living under that will, we're already in a bad place. We're going to continue to be in a bad place. Amen? I don't mean to get long-winded. I'm going to read this next one. I want you to stay in Matthew. I'm going to read this next one. I want you to stay in Matthew and turn to chapter 6. This one I'm about to read, please write it down. Don't, because then when you get a chance, I want you to look at it on your own eyes. It's John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. But I'm going to read that one, John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. And we're going to go to Matthew, chapter 6, okay? This says in the book of John, this is Jesus speaking again. He says, no, maybe you better look at this one. You got to look at this one. I'm sorry, you got to look at this one. John, chapter 1. If you Pastor Keith's been in the book of John, period, for the longest. He's already addressed a lot of these things. So this will be a little review for you brothers and sisters. But Jesus came in this world. He was with the Father from the very beginning. He created all of us according to the word of God. So we're going to pick it up in verse 10. So you got John chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 10, okay? 10 through 13. And it reads, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name, which were born not of blood, look at this, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Here's a very important thing I want you to pay attention to. There is a will of your flesh, and there is a will of man. Many of us have been programmed and been operating in the will of the flesh and the will of man, which also simply just goes back to the will of Satan. Because anyone who's walking according to the flesh does not even know God, the Bible says. So, if we're still operating according to the will of our flesh or the will of man, then we're not operating in the will of God. Amen? But I wanted you to look at that with your naked eye to understand that there are these are not myths that we're coming up with. These are facts. That there is a will that is not of God. God is talking about his will, and then there's a will of your flesh, and there's a will of man. And the wages of all of that is death. So we want to get out of those wills. Amen? So Matthew chapter 6. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at one very important thing. Now we're going to look at about praying for God's will. You know, we talked about understanding God, that we should be walking in God's will. We also looked at the fact that you're chosen to operate in God's will. Now we're going to understand that we need to pray that God's will, that we're called to actually pray for this. So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9 through 13. This is our Lord and Savior teaching us how to pray. Amen. So whatever way we've been praying, if we skip some of this, let's start putting this in there. You got it? Chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Look what it says. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop there for a minute. When you pray that prayer, you say, God, your will be done. Your will be done. through me on earth as it is in heaven. See that? Your will be done through me on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're asking for when you pray that prayer. That his will be done through your life in this wretched earth as it is in heaven. Let the will of heaven be done here on earth instead of what's going on in the world through your life. Amen? And then it goes on, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 1 John, you got to look at this too. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 is near the back of the Bible, and then we're almost done. 1 John chapter 5 in the back of the Bible. This is almost as long as Mission Impossible, huh? But I pray that you're being blessed by it, because Mission Impossible helped me tremendously. And because I love the word, Keith could have kept going for two more hours. But, I got that special love for the word. When you got it, say amen. 1 John chapter 5. You got it? Okay, here we go. Starting at verse 13 and 15. This is very important. When we pray that prayer, we got to understand how this prayer thing works. Verse 13, look at this. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That would qualify us. We believe on the name of the Son of God. That ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? According to his will, he hears us. So when we get on our knees and say, Lord, I want that new Lamborghini. You think that's according to his will? Probably not. You know. Lord, I want to walk in. I got to have the sharpest suit. I want everybody to see me. You think that's probably according to his will? Probably not. So when we're praying, we're to pray, we're to ask anything according to his will. It turns around and gives us the confidence. It says he hears us when it's according to his will. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Now, if we're operating according to God's will, many of the times our prayers are not even going to really mostly never. Some of them will be about ourselves, but they'll be mostly about others, about the benefits and the cares of others. We normally pray. We'll pray for about things for ourselves, of course. But normally, God is putting our hearts to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, but to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So majority of our prayers are going to be about the well-being of others. Amen? We'll pray for some things about ourselves, but if we have the confidence that he's with us, most of the time we won't really need to pray that much about ourselves, because we know that he's with us anyway. He promised you that. You accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. You're in good shape. Amen? He got you. He got you. That's the best security blanket there is. Smith and Barney can't do nothing for you. Okay. Last one, y'all. John chapter 5. Last verse. This is my closing. Last verse right here. The book of St. John chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse 30. 25 through 30. This is our Lord and Savior once again. And what better way to close out about living our lives according to his will than to learn from our Lord and Savior. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, verse 25, y'all, chapter 5, verse 25, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And as the Father has life in him, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, For the hour is come, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. There's going to come a day that we all going to have to give an account. I pray that you start, if you're not already, walking in the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because as we just heard in the words, that there's going to come a day that we're going to all rise, and some are going to rise to eternal life, and others to damnation. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word, Father. We ask that you just continue to lay upon our hearts to hear your voice each and every day, Lord, to be led by you, Father, to learn your will, your perfect will for each and every one of our lives, Lord. For you have something for each and every one of us to do, and it may differ from one another, Lord, but we ask that you give us that direction and guidance for what it is that each and every one of us are supposed to do. We understand that this walk is an individual walk, Lord, and come judgment day, we'll all have to give an account for the things that we have done and how we have lived. But we also understand it is a group thing, Father, that there is a body, and that if we all are walking individually the way we need to walk, that there'll be a big party and a time to rejoice with one another, Lord. And we look forward to that day, Lord. We ask that you just continue to convict us and continue to conform us according to your will and your way, Lord, and pull us further and further out of the will of this world and out of the will of ourselves and out of the will of the flesh and out of the will of man and out of the will of the enemy, Lord. But in your will, we ask all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.